Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Independence Day broadcast of Italian Tomatoes. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Italian Tomatoes. I'm your host, Bob Curie, and you just heard the famous rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner that was sung by Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl that just preceded the first Gulf War, and it's a very stirring rendition and a very famous rendition of the national anthem. Tonight is the show is broadcasting at 11 Central and midnight Eastern Time, so it's already July 4th on the East Coast. Obviously, this late at night, the show is in podcast format. I don't expect to have many live listeners dropping in, but if anybody does drop in, they're certainly welcome. And to call into the show, the number is 646-478-0004, and the chat is open for anybody who wants to participate in the chat. During the summer, I'm going to do a number of these podcast shows. They'll be recorded either late at night or fairly early in the morning, and they will be theme-based and to kind of reflect on where we are as a country and what's going on in the world around us during the summer months, so that when the fall election season moves into high gear, hopefully these shows will provide some kind of framework for discussion and people will find them useful. So that's the idea behind the summer shows. And the timing of the summer shows, which are going to, you know, not focus on live participation, but just on expressing ideas and maybe reinforcing them with some clips and audio. The summer shows will have a brief recap of the news of the week, and there was plenty of news this past week. The Supreme Court made its rulings on gay marriage and on Obamacare. And I'm not going to go into gay marriage or Obamacare very much tonight. What I do want to observe in passing is that the intrusion of the federal government into marriage law is very oddly correlated with our tax system. And one of the shows that I hope to do sometime this summer is going to be somewhat humorously called The Church of the Standard Deduction, which is going to go into how deeply the tax code was linked up with heterosexual marriage and how that linkage set up the stage and framework for a political battle once our society began to change its views on marriage, because the tax code is so intrusive in our society. On Obamacare, I really wasn't expecting a different outcome. The court's decision to uphold the statute was kind of a judicial rescue mission for an inherently contradictory and incompetently drafted piece of legislation. I mean, it was the intent of Congress to have the federal subsidy apply across the nation, but they didn't write the law that way because the Democratic Congress was too incompetent to write it properly. So the court was stuck with a very strange kind of decision where it had to divine the intent of the law, because the intent of the law, which everybody knew what the intent was not expressed in the actual statute. And that is a very odd set of circumstances and does not speak very well of either the president or the Congress back in 2009, early 2010, which passed Obamacare. Two other major events abroad. We had a terrible outbreak of terror in the past week, terrorist attacks in Tunisia, in Kuwait, and in France, which shows that terrorism and its linkage to Islamic fundamentalism is a real issue, however reluctant the White House might be to acknowledge that. In Greece, we have the continual unraveling there of the banking system and the fight between Greece and the financial authorities of the European Union over the terms of the austerity package that is going to be imposed on Greece to rescue its banking system. And this illustrates the danger of becoming entangled with Eurocrat mandarins. Then the last thing I'll notice in passing is the state of the financial markets, which are a bit jittery, partly because of Greece, but also because of the anticipation of a rise in interest rates. The bond markets are very jittery, and there are all sorts of rumors about potential collapse in bond prices. That hasn't happened yet, but people are really worried about it, and a lot of money seems to be exiting the bond markets in anticipation of a rise in interest rates and a fall in bond prices. Well, that's it for the news roundup, but the main theme tonight is the celebration of American exceptionalism and also a cautionary note on exceptionalism. The left has enormous problems with American exceptionalism, and there's a sliver of truth in their concern because, you know, Americans do have a tendency, or did anyway, and until very recently, to be perhaps a little over-optimistic about the unique nature of this country. All countries are unique, and every one of them has unique attributes which deserve respect. There is the land that every country occupies and the attachment of its people to the land. The role of the land is home to unique sets of people and the language, culture, achievements, and history that go with that. But in addition to all of these unique attributes, some countries do have a legacy that is distinct and compelling, and the United States is certainly one of those. And just as we shouldn't be too boastful about our country's achievements, we shouldn't neglect to be proud of them either. Exceptionalism is an appropriate term for legacies that are original, that don't have counterparts anywhere else, and which, although they may be copied by other countries, they clearly did not originate in those countries. And an important aspect of exceptionalism is the scale of the legacy. And by that standard, the United States is a unique historical enterprise and has an exceptional and unique legacy of its own. It is the oldest representative government with a continuing written constitution. It is the first example of a republican form of government applied to a continent, and you can contrast that with the earlier republics, Rome, Athens, Italian city-states, Holland, countries of that nature, which, when they got beyond a certain scale, they degenerated into empires and they lost their republican character. That never happened to the United States. God willing, it never will. The United States is unique for its recognition of minority rights, framed in the Bill of Rights and in the Constitution, and its absolute bedrock belief that legitimate government requires the consent of the governed. The American experiment fused principles of tolerance, liberty, and enlightenment, and those are not easy to combine. When you contrast that with what happened in Europe, you either have a tyranny of enlightenment, such as the French Revolution and the Napoleonic era, or the socialist dictatorships of Nazi Germany and Communist Russia, or you have the aristocratic authoritarianism of the traditional empires. America escaped all of that because of that unique heritage of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the ideals expressed in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution and the Declaration being the founding documents that completely defined the character of the country. America is also quite exceptional in its belief in the pursuit of happiness as an end to itself, that people have the right to better their circumstances free of interference by aristocracies or oppressive government classes, and it has a free economy, which is the marvel of the world and has come to the rescue of the world repeatedly in times of war and economic crisis. So I think that we have a lot to be proud of. We do have an exceptional legacy, and it's important for us to recognize it, to appreciate it, to cherish it, and to preserve it. Now, exceptionalism does not mean superiority. It does imply the obligation to live up to the exceptional heritage, and that is something that I think we frequently are tempted to lose sight of. Exceptionalism does not exclude failure, but when America fails, it fails to live up to its ideas and its ideals. It doesn't fail when it falls prey to national vices like ethnic nationalism or ideological dictatorship, which has been the case of failures in governance in Europe and Asia. It doesn't fail because of religious extremism, as the numerous failures of the Middle East are afflicting the world with. When America fails, it fails in a unique way. It fails because it does not live up to its founding ideals. Because one of the most exceptional things about America is its foundation does rest on ideals, not on ethnic identity, not on an aristocratic caste, not on an ideological dictatorship, but on a set of ideals and principles, again, enshrined in those founding documents. Now, the cautionary note that we should think about for this July 4th, I mean, we have an exceptional country. We should celebrate it and honor it and just be very proud of it and be thankful that we have it. But we also have to be careful that we recognize that we have an obligation to preserve it. Exceptionalism is not forever. American exceptionalism is at risk because its elites enjoy great wealth and power that exceptionalism made possible. But as the elites continue to live with all of that affluence and power, they are becoming jaded and contemptuous of the base of ordinary people on which the whole system depends. When you look at our elite classes, you find them increasingly attracted and distracted by the European elite model, which uses top-down authority to impose and enforce enlightenment. This disrupts the balance between liberty, tolerance, and enlightenment, which has made the United States so exceptional and so successful. And we have to remember that no matter how well-intentioned enlightenment is, when it tramples on liberty and tolerance, it becomes autocratic and militaristic at home and abroad. So to close this broadcast on highlighting the nature of American exceptionalism and the risk to it, I thought I would play a couple of clips from that staple of the July 4th celebration, the musical repertoire almost, if it's a big thing like a concert in the park or something like that, it often includes the 1812 Overture by Tchaikovsky, complete with fireworks and cannon fire and all of that. And it's important and illustrative to remember what the 1812 Overture was commemorating. It was commemorating the invasion of Russia by Napoleonic France. And let me play the first of the 1812 Overture clips, and then we'll comment on that a little bit more. Napoleon considered himself the heir of the French Revolution, and he conceived of his imperial mission as imposing the Enlightenment represented by the French Revolution, the rationality and order and progress that it offered, to impose that on all of the rest of Europe by force. And that triggered the ultimate paradox, because the people do not like things that are imposed by force, even if it is done in the name of enlightenment. And when they perceive their liberty being trampled on, they will even turn to an autocracy, the kind of autocracy represented by the Tsar of Russia, who defended the country against the imposition of foreign rule by Napoleon. And this is the great danger if you lose the balance between enlightenment on one hand and liberty and tolerance on the other. When enlightenment splits off from liberty and tolerance and it becomes militaristic and autocratic, what results is an explosion. And that explosion is very well symbolized by the closing of the 1812 Overture. Church bells in defense of liberty are no accident. So on that note, I'm going to wish you all a good night. I hope you have a happy and safe 4th of July, and may God bless and keep the United States of America, its Constitution, its liberty, its tolerance, and its respect for progress and enlightenment. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Good night.